The Drum Corps History Podcast, Episode 44. The Drum Corps History Podcast, a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This week's episode, The Madison Scouts. Welcome back to the Drum Corps History Podcast. My name is Ron Allard from Diceman Radio. The following comes in part from an article written by Dan Guernsey and Robert Pilot for A History of Drum and Bugle Corps, Volume 2, published by Steve Vickers of Drum Corps World. In 1937, a group of Madison businessmen watched the performance of the Racine Scouts at the University of Wisconsin Stock Pavilion. Impressed by the possibilities of a top-notch entertaining youth activity, they decided Madison should have a Scout Drum and Bugle Corps as well. The men, led by E.J. Hess, organized the Madison Scout Drum and Bugle Corps and held its first rehearsal on February 8, 1938. The Scouts started with a bass drum, snare and tenor drums, Army-issue G-bugles, and a broomstick for a drum major's baton. Members wore official Boy Scout-issue uniforms. Hess was the first director, but shortly thereafter, Clarence H. Beebe, Scoutmaster of Troop 20, was appointed quartermaster and executive director. He was the inspiration and driving force behind the Corps for 30 years. From the beginning, the Madison Scouts emphasized showmanship, flash, and audience appeal. At first, this was provided by a succession of talented baton-twirling drum majors who attained almost celebrity status among Wisconsin audiences. The drum line got into the act with twirling tenor and bass drumsticks. In 1942, the bell lyre was added to the percussion line. 2 years later, chrome-plated, single-valve GD soprano and baritone bugles replaced the Army bugles, and the Corps was becoming truly musical. During the 1930s and 1940s, the Madison Scouts were essentially a parade unit, but they also had a field show. They took their show to communities in Wisconsin and northern Illinois and were gaining a reputation for their showmanship and entertaining style. The Corps also performed for charities, including an annual show for the developmentally disabled at Camp Wabik that they continued for 15 years. The Corps was a prominent feature at scouting functions like the Four Lakes Council's annual Camp Berea. During World War II, the Scouts helped promote war bonds. 115 Madison Scouts served in the armed forces, and all of them returned home from the war. In the beginning, the uniform was the official Boy Scout khaki shirt, short pants, knee socks, red neckerchief, and the traditional wide-brim campaign hat. They were Boy Scout all the way. In 1945, there were 18 Eagle Scouts in the Corps, and by 1947, 20 had attained that highest Scout rank. In 1947, the Corps participated in the most prestigious scouting event, the International Scout Jamboree in Oisans, France. They were the only musical scout unit representing the United States at the event. The Madison Scouts were fortunate to have had excellent musical instructors during the 1940s who demanded each member know how to read music and play in tune. As the 1950s began, monumental organizational and programmatic changes took place. A group of parents established an association to support the Corps in all of its activities. The first major project undertaken was the establishment of Christmas tree lots that would be the Corps' main fundraiser for the next two decades. 2 years later, the first annual Madison Scout-sponsored Drums on Parade show was held at Bree Stevens Field. This show celebrated its 50th anniversary in 2002. In 1951, the Corps was divided into two corps, the Explorer Scouts and the Boy Scouts. The Explorer Scouts, or Madison Scouts, would serve the older, more advanced members. The Boy Scout Corps, later called the Junior Scouts, would train those under 14 years age for the Explorer Scouts. New uniforms also brought the Scouts into a new era. With the formation of the Junior Scouts, the Explorer Scouts adopted Explorer Green to distinguish the unit from the Junior Corps' traditional khaki. The uniforms also set the Explorer Scouts apart from the other corps whose uniforms tended to be splashier. The crisp lines of white against forest green, white neckerchiefs, gloves, belts, and military leggings provided an often welcome relief from shiny blouses, sashes, shakos, plumes, and leg stripes. In 1952, Madison purchased French horns, adding a third voice to their powerful horn line. During the 50s, the Explorer Scouts grew to about 60 members, and it became necessary to purchase the organization's first vehicle, a small truck, to carry the Corps' equipment. The Corps also chartered two buses to travel to appearances. In 1950, Don Marcoulier took over as program director, and the next 4 years set the foundation for what was to become the Madison Style. Marcoulier was assistant director at the University of Wisconsin Marching Band in the early 50s and was also band director at Edgewood High School in Madison. He brought with him Roger Buzzy, a UW graduate assistant with a similar background and musical sense. Muzzy took over as director in 1953 after Marcoulier was stricken with tuberculosis, carrying on Marcoulier's spirit of innovation and daring. Above all, Marcoulier brought a keen sense of general effect and showmanship with him from the UW band. He knew what would really please and entertain a crowd. He introduced the silent drill, or scatter drill, in which marchers suddenly stopped playing and then scattered in seemingly random directions. Just as suddenly, the members resumed marching and playing again as if nothing had happened. He introduced the march of the wooden soldiers with each member mimicking the shuffle of a wind-up toy. In addition, Marcoulier introduced dancing to the tune of the Can-Can. During Alexander's ragtime band, audiences were treated to the brass players directing their bugles up toward them, a trait revived by the scouts in the early 70s, and bowing to them at the end of the drill. All in all, Marcoulier was the person most responsible for putting the Madison Scouts on a course that would place them on the cutting edge of the drum corps activity. Under his guidance, Madison emerged as a Midwest power. The early 50s were a seesaw battle for the top spot. In 1954, Madison burst on the national scene and took it by storm. All season long, Madison and the Kilties traded victories, neither corps taking less than second place in any Midwest contest. Madison's brass and general effect scores never dropped below second all season. It all boiled down to the South Milwaukee Spectacle of Music, the most prestigious contest in the Midwest. The East recognized this show as the Midwest Championship. Madison's great strengths won out, and they were off to their first VFW National Championship in Philadelphia with confidence and momentum. To the members of the Madison Scouts, the Eastern Corps were legends. Only a handful of scouts had seen a few of them during the 1951 tour. Madison tied with the Audubon Bonbons for sixth place in the preliminaries. The scouts were so elated to be in finals that they shoulder-carried their director off the field when the score was posted. To the jaded legends of the East, such exuberance over a sixth-place finish was perplexing. That night was the thrill of a lifetime for the scouts. It was their first nationals, and they performed in front of thousands of fans in Municipal Stadium. Everything was on the line for the Eastern title, but the Scouts were simply glad to be performing. Astonishingly, Madison took second place behind Blessed Sacrament Golden Knights. The East was stunned, but the stadium crowd went crazy. Madison received the only standing ovation of the evening, and it lasted until the announcer had to ask for quiet for the next corps. This display demonstrated to the scouts that bringing ecstatic audiences to their feet could be more thrilling than receiving the highest score. That belief remains to this day as an essential part of the Madison philosophy. From 1954 to 1959, the Corps thrived creatively. The Corps' musical repertoire was expanded greatly and included the introduction of classical music. The Scouts also became famous for cymbal and flag twirling, bugle flipping, head choppers, and playing G above high C on the soprano bugle. In the summer of 1955, the new bass baritone bugle was added, giving the Scouts four voices. Also, the tenor drum switched from Scottish style to rudimental. Madison had another successful Midwest season and then headed east for the championship. Fortified with gamma globulin shots to protect them from Boston's polio epidemic, the Corps entered the VFW Nationals and was awarded second place. The following year, the Corps toured extensively, visiting Florida by bus in June and California by train in August. At the 1956 American Legion Nationals in Los Angeles, the Scouts placed second for the third year in a row. Week after week in 1957, the Scouts and the Cavaliers traded first and second place in the Midwest. At season's end, the Corps traveled to Florida for the VFW Nationals and placed fifth out of a huge field. The Scouts also produced a studio recording of their drill music for the first time in 1957. A major step in the evolution of the bugle occurred that year when a rotary valve was added to the single piston. This dramatically increased the options for what could be played on the instrument. The 1958 edition of the Madison Scouts was a combination of seasoned veterans and talented recruits. Madison went to the VFW in New York City and placed fifth in Old Dodger Stadium. This was also the first year that a Madison Scout, soprano player James McCarthy, won a national solo championship. A long tradition of excellence in solo and ensemble competition had begun. Also in 1958, color guard instructor John Price, a former Scout French horn player, expanded the color guard and integrated it into the Corps' drill. Normally made up of a U.S. flag and three or four other flags, the guards generally stayed out of the way off to the side of the field. At best, they might be featured at one short point in the drill, if at all. Price changed all that by doubling the size of the guard and giving it an innovative, flashy role as part of the drill. He also entered the expanded guard in national contests, and they won the 1959 American Legion National Color Guard Championships. His innovations were to have a profound influence on color guards in the 60s and beyond. In 1959, Madison fielded what was perhaps their finest core of the decade. Percussion and marching and maneuvering scores improved dramatically. For the first time, the Corps did not have to rely solely on its brass and general effect to get to the top. Overall, the Scouts finished third at the VFW and fourth at the American Legion National Championships. In 1960, the Corps was made up of more than 50% new members. That many rookies usually spelled trouble from a performance standpoint, yet it was an excellent year. The Scouts won the state VFW and American Legion titles, placed second to the Cavaliers at South Milwaukee, and took fifth at the VFW National Championship. They also won the VFW National Parade Championship, and the Color Guard took second place. The 1961 Corps launched the season with a parade in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The Scouts had only traveled that far for a parade once before. It turned out to be a disappointing year competitively, with fans and quote-unquote experts bewildered by the Scouts' eighth-place finish. The summer of 1962 was the first time in 12 years the Corps changed its uniform style, having received the approval of the National Office of the Boy Scouts of America. The new uniform was a military cadet dress style in explorer green with white trim. The Corps wore this uniform through the 1966 season. The Scouts, propelled by an outstanding horn line, placed sixth at the VFW Nationals. The 1962 show included the classic ballet and brass arranged by the talented Nick Verndon. Madison celebrated its 25th anniversary in 1963 by fielding another excellent corps. However, the corps did not attend either of the national championships due to financial problems that had been brewing for some time. Madison had quit going to the American Legion National some years before and never went again because the American Legion Convention was always after school started. The Scouts, however, were still attending the VFW Championships. The Corps did not attend in 63 due to the distance between Madison and Seattle and because most other major corps were not attending. The 1964 Scouts endured a season of struggle. Many members left after 63, resulting in a younger and smaller group. Financial challenges were developed as drum corps became more expensive. In addition, the new program director for the Corps was not accepted well by the membership and left mid-season. Madison did not make the finals for the first time since 1954. A high point of the season was an appearance by the Corps at the World's Fair in New York City. The 1965 season saw some improvement, but Madison again missed making the top 12 at the VFW Championships, finishing 14th. The Scouts added two contrabass bugles, which first appeared in 1962, to their horn line, and mellophones and euphoniums were also introduced in 65. The 1966 Corps, although smaller than most of the top units, was quite mature and performed well. Before the end of the year, they showed up uninvited at the National Dream and politely crashed the party. The crowd's hearts were won over by one of the Scouts' best shows of the year. We'll be right back. In the 1967-68 period, the Corps again took on a new look. They had little money and their uniforms were virtually rotting on the hangars. In an effort to obtain replacements, they secured authentic cadet-style uniforms from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. However, the new cadet uniforms did little to improve the Corps' competitiveness. The Scouts finished 15th in the prelims at the 1967 VFW Nationals in New Orleans and 20th at the 1968 VFW Nationals in Detroit. In 1968, a revolution occurred in marching percussion. Multi-pitch tenors, bass, and cymbal configurations appeared, and tunable marching timpani were introduced. Improvements in the late 60s were made to the bugle as their key was changed from GD to GF. On January 15, 1968, Clarence H. Beebe passed away. Beebe was the conscience and driving force behind the Corps. As its leader and mentor, he influenced the lives of nearly 1,000 young men who not only entertained millions of people, but also went on to become productive citizens. He believed in scouting and received Scout's most prestigious adult award, the Silver Beaver. In 1965, he was the first person inducted into the Drum Corps Hall of Fame. His funeral procession was believed to have been the longest in Madison's history. All of Scouting and Drum Corps was saddened, and Madison, Wisconsin lost a great citizen. Beebe's death left the Madison Scouts in a state of crisis. In addition to floundering leadership, financial struggles and low placements in 67 and 68 contributed to the Corps' instability. The crisis culminated in the creation of a rival splinter corps from the Scouts, the 32nd Hussars. Price, the scout instructor of the 1959 National Champion Color Guard and the Corps' field director from 67 to 68, formed the Hussars in the fall of 68. He based his new corps in nearby Middleton, Wisconsin, but the Hussars struggled financially throughout their brief existence. The corps eventually folded shortly before the 1973 season. The crisis diminished in 1969 when William Howard became the director. A scout alumnus of the early 50s under Marcoulier and Muzzy and a member of the Drum Corps International Hall of Fame, Howard rebuilt the scouts by reviving the corps' successes of that decade. This rejuvenation included a return to the Explorer Scout uniform of the 50s, a symbolic but effective way to circumvent the corps of 67 and 68. The stable leadership and new identity paid off. Although the Corps failed to make finals at the VFW Nationals, the Illinois Drum Corps Association presented its Comeback Corps of the Year award to the vastly improved Scouts. Under Howard's leadership, the 1969 Scouts were on the mend after several years of fiscal struggle and identity crisis. On March 1, 1970, the Madison Scouts Drum and Bugle Corps Association, Incorporated, became a not-for-profit corporation created to support both the Explorer and Boy Scout Corps. Howard was named executive director and also continued as director of the Explorer Corps. He rejuvenated the 1970 Scouts by returning to the wide-open, exciting, crowd-pleasing shows for which they had become famous in the 50s. In many respects, the 1970 show was a revival of the Madison style established by Marcoulier in 1950. The Marcoulier revival included the scatter drill and members imitating wind-up toy soldiers in the Scout classic from the early 1950s, March of the Wooden Soldiers.
Thank you.
The summer of 1970 was the beginning of the Scouts' rise as a major brass power. Ray Baumgart, the Corps' brass arranger from 70 to 79, created not only the famous Madison sound of that decade, but also influenced horns arrangers throughout the Drum Corps activity. This prowess resulted in championships. In August 1970, the Scouts won their first major national championship at the U.S. Open. The $1,500 first place money was the largest sum they had won up to that time. The Corps went on to play seventh at the VFW Nationals, its first appearance at finals since 1966. The 1971 show kept alive the spirit of innovation and daring that Marc Coulier had established with the Scouts 21 years earlier. The 1971 show featured a total theme concept of Scouts in Fantasyland, including Alice in Wonderland and members donning costumes. Howard's daughter Bonnie, the only girl ever to march in the Scouts, played the role of Alice. She was accompanied on the field by a sprightly rabbit, a spindly Pinocchio, and a motley array of color guard members as the Seven Dwarfs. These childlike elements, along with skipping and Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, were coordinated with the classic Marc Coulier traits of the scatter drill and mimic toy soldiers in March of the Wooden Soldiers. The Corps placed second at the U.S. Open and then traveled to Dallas, Texas for VFW Nationals, where they placed 10th. Despite the lower finish, the Scouts were one of only two horn lines that season to receive a perfect 5.0 in music analysis. The other was Sandra Opie's Argonne Rebels from Kansas. Both repeated this remarkable achievement in 1972. In doing so, Baumgart firmly established the Scouts as one of the preeminent horn lines in the Drum Corps of the early 70s. The summer of 1971 also saw the formation of the controversial Midwest Combine and its eastern equivalent, the United Organization of Junior Corps. These two groups were formed to give the top drum corps the ability to control their own destinies. Up to this time, the VFW, American Legion, and other individual sponsors had controlled the aspects of judging, show schedule, and pay scales for the corps. Madison was a member of the Combine, along with the Santa Clara Vanguard, 1st Federal Blue Stars, Troopers, and Cavaliers. That summer was also significant in that it ushered in the era of extended touring. Up to this point, only Western Corps had experienced being on the road for weeks at a time. Prior to the 1972 season, the Combine and its Eastern counterpart joined forces to create Drum Corps International. That concludes this week's episode on the Madison Scouts Part 1. Please join us again next time as we take a deeper look into Drum Corps history. This podcast is produced and sponsored by DiceManRadio.com.